Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Time where we gotta start learning to break out. We gotta start learning that it's time to step out of our comfort zones. We get so used to being in this regular way of this is how we do things and this is what's working and this is what's great. And He wants us to totally step out of that. You know, the Bible is not just a book of words. It's the living Word of God. It's the bread of life. It's everything that you need every single day. And the thing is that everything that's within it has already been given to you. What happened then wasn't just that was a thing of then. It's a thing of now. He was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's not just what happened then. It's what He desires for now. That's what's so powerful about it. It's always living. He's always giving us new things. Even though it's the same words, the Holy Spirit's gonna reveal a new thing. New things will begin to come forth. And the way that we start to move into those things is when He moves us out of our comfort zone, we say, okay. And we become obedient and we move. The church is supposed to rise up. He's waiting for His bride. But that's the thing, is waiting because we have to learn that what we see with our eyes physically is not what's happening in the kingdom. And as we begin to learn that's the way things are operating and we stop worrying about what we want, what we think we need, what we think we see happening around us, the storm that's raging becomes nothing because of the peace that passes all understanding. When we begin to walk in those ways is when we're going to begin to see the kingdom on earth. He's just waiting. He's waiting and He's waiting. Because it's already all been placed within you. It's already there. He's already with you every moment of the day. It's a matter of us learning to step outside of the box and say, God, regardless of what I think, regardless of what I see, I'm going to do exactly what You say. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to see the blind seen again. I'm going to see sickness and cancer healed. I'm going to see all the things that You promised just begin to come to pass, because everything that You promised in that book can happen now, and it's here, and You're here, and You're moving, and You can do it all. We've got to start moving in it. We've got to start believing, not just reading and seeing, but just moving. We can't just play church anymore. We can't just come to church on Sunday, have some really good worship, and go home and not open our Bible one time out of the week. Man, He's desiring for growth to happen. He's wanting to give more. He's wanting to place more. He wants for you to have more in your life. And all you gotta do is go after Him. All you gotta do is focus on the right things. Our focus gets so skewed. He tells us not to be distracted. And I know that He's talking to the church. Don't be distracted. Look at Me. Keep your eyes on the Father.
I feel led to share something that the Lord gave me in my prayer closet this morning. This is the day I have made, and I have made all of you for this day. Rejoice, my children. This is the day, a special day for all to see and hear what I have to say. You are all precious in My sight. You all were gathered here to be one with Me and one with each other. I have given you all gifts that complement one another. to work as one body, along with all others across the world. Some of you are gathering today, and some of you were gathered yesterday at this very moment. The light of my children shines 24/7 around the world. The world is always in my light. Step into the light, absorb my light, and walk in the light. Be the light in a darkening world, a beacon of hope in a world full of corruption. Shine your light, my children, and help others navigate through the storm. This is my desire. This is your commission. This is who you are. It is time to light up the world. This is the way. Walk in it.
I just have a short word and felt God wanted me to express it. And that is the value time. And time is something that we're not promised. We're not promised tomorrow. And so God, I felt God was saying, what are we doing with that precious time that we've been given? How much time do we give to Him? How much time do we give to family, those that are so special to us? How much time do we give to ourselves? Just that time of rest, that time of being with God. And as I said a little bit ago, is that we're not promised tomorrow. And so I really felt that God was wanting to just prioritize every minute that we have. See the value of it. And don't just let it go by. And for some of us, it seems like we've got a long life ahead of us. Some of us, maybe we don't see it that way. But regardless, just having the rest of today, what are you going to do with it? So be blessed in what God leads you.
This week, as I was doing my devotionals, the Lord kept speaking to me about bearing fruit. And I have a couple of scriptures that the Lord laid upon my heart. And one of them is from Psalm 1. And it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff. The wind drives them away. It's also another scripture in John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And I just feel like if we allow God to be the river, the waters, he will cause our roots to go deep and we will bear the fruit that God desires for us to. But we have to dig deep and we have to dig that well and we have to go after that water. And that water is the word of God, and it'll water us and it'll cause us to grow. He's urging us to bear fruit.
Good morning, church. I have a verse to share. I've been focusing on this verse all week, and it's on 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. And towards the end, it says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know, it talks about Jehoshaphat and a great multitude was coming against him. And sometimes that's a way that we feel, like a great multitude is coming against us. You know, but Jehoshaphat, he called a fast, and he called his whole city to pray. And he said, and they humbled themselves, and he said, Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. If you're going through anything right now, I know that many times I've gone through many things, and I say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But this verse really has ministered to me. It's again, it's Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. So that's what I encourage with you today. God bless you.
Everything that's been said today is filling ourselves with God, filling ourselves with who He is and the Word and the light that He shines, and that one of the promises that He's given us, as we read the Bible, as we take care of and pray and give it to God, in Isaiah 59, 21 says, and the Lord says, my Spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and the words that I put in your mouth will always be on the lips, and on the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants from this time forever. So think about it. Think about what you put in you. It's spreading out to your children. It's a promise that God's saying. You might feel that, oh, my kid is going off on left field, and God's saying, I'm bringing him home. But fill yourself up. That way, it'll come back to your children and your children's children.
Oh, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Praise God. Let's rejoice and be glad. Let's give God a clap offering. Let's say, talk to Him. You know, stand up and raise your hands. Do something. Make a noise before the Lord. Let Him know that you're here. Hallelujah. Does He know you're here? Oh, He knows. Just let Him know. God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, you can be seated. Praise God. If you can. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think we need to take the chairs out. Hallelujah. Come on, man. You say, oh, no, I won't. Not as long as you preach, bro. Is that me? Come on. Hallelujah. Good morning. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Looks like everybody made it through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the children are the heritage of the Lord? Do you guys know that? And the fruit of the womb, babies, are His reward. How many know that? Amen. How many know? How many believe that? Can I tell you, the Word of God says that all souls are His. Every one of us belong to Him. Is that good? That's a great thing. Hallelujah. And He loves every one of us. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. You guys remember when you were little? When you had diapers? Do you remember that? A long time ago for some of us. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have a baby dedication this morning. Is that okay with all of you? Yes. Praise God. Cindy, why don't you and your family come on up, and those that, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Nolani. Hallelujah. I think she's getting there. Here she comes. Beautiful little girl. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Where's Rosie? Come on, Rose. Come on, bring the family up. Come on, Tata. Yeah, this one. Nolani, come here. Will she come to me?
Yeah.
You think she will? Hi, baby. Hi, Mama. Ooh. You look very Christmassy. Doesn't she look very Christmassy? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And what we like to do here in this house is whenever we dedicate a baby, I believe that the most important thing we can speak to people is God's word.
You can speak a lot of stuff to folks. How many of you know that? You can say a lot of things. You can say things and you know, but if you speak God's word to them, it's a different, it's so there's something about the word of God. How many of you know that the word of God, it's eternal. It lives forever. The word of God is Jesus, amen? So I believe that speaking the word of God to a person is probably the most important thing you can do. Hallelujah. Just say, hey, man, we love you. God loves you. And, you know, hey, if a word of the Lord pops up in your heart, just speak that to them. So what I've asked the family to do is to speak a word to her. Amen? Is that cool? That's pretty cool. That's how we dedicate, I believe, these young, beautiful young ladies. Handsome young men when we get them. We got another baby dedication coming up soon. Is that right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. She said, don't spin so fast. You make me fall off. That's what she's telling me. You're scaring me. Yeah, I know. Huh? Praise God. So we're going to start with mom and let her speak a word to her.
So it's from Psalms 46:5, and God is in the midst of her. You?
Yes.
She shall not be moved. You shall not be moved.
Amen.
God shall help you. Just
she wants to. Just at the she wants to preach. Amen. Amen.
And my dad has.
Yeah. Tata. So you're gonna say it in Spanish, so. We'll start again. We're going to let you... No, in Spanish.
Oh, no.
It's okay. Oh, no, he says.
Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y te ponga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. This is number 6, verse 24 to 26.
So the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord makes his face shine upon thee.
Amen.
And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift
yes,
up
Lord.
His... I can't pronounce that word.
Countenance.
Countenance.
Yes.
upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother. And Rosie? You want to have the pastor speak a word over her?
Yes.
And any of you?
Perfectly and wonderfully made in the Lord.
Amen.
And my scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thoughts of peace, thoughts of... Pastor John?
It's really amazing because I got the same verse.
Come on. yes, light shine upon
this little girl is going to be blessed.
Yes, amen.
So I will read it again.
Yes.
and if the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Pastor Stella, did you have something?
I just wanted to say that the Lord loves you and it says all over his word that he loves you and that he has a plan for you and that he'll always be with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll walk every moment of your life.
Amen. Amen. Extend your hand towards her and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. She's about ready to rip me off here. yep, come on. She goes, ah. Thank you, Cindy. So extend your hand to her, Father. This is Nolani. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Nolani, God. We ask you, Lord, that you'd continue, Father God, to speak through her parents to her, Father. Let your words dwell in her richly and cause her to live in peace, Father. We thank you for it. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, God. And Father, I pray that she would be baptized in the Holy Ghost at a young age. I speak that to you, Nolani, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you guys. Praise God. Whoa. Did she lose a shoe?
Yes.
A boot. She's having a... Praise God. Isn't that sweet? Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Praise God. Hey, message today is called Trees and Lights. Trees and Lights. Trees. And how many of you guys like trees and lights? Are we in the time for trees and lights? Pastor Stella said, sounded like you said trees and lights. I said, no, trees and lights. Trees and lights. If you go down to Walmart, what do you see? You go into the far section down here, man, nothing but trees and lights. Is that right? And it's kind of crazy. We're in a trees and light type of time of year. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you got your trees up already? Look at you. Look at all you early birds. Hallelujah. You know, Rosie and I used to get live trees all the time until she made me stop because we were planting too many trees around my house. So we would try to get them kind of late so that they weren't in the house too long, because being inside the house, sometimes it affects them. It don't affect them very well. So we would get them. We'd get them, and we'd have maybe a week before, and then try to get them out of the house as soon as we could. Because I heat my house with a wood stove. I mean, how many of you still heat your house with a wood stove? I see one. Yeah, that's it. That's why when I come in sometimes, I might smell like smoke. But your pastor's on fire. Come on, man. Yeah, praise God. But anyway, we like to heat our house with the wood stove. It's nice. It keeps us in shape. Isn't that right, Steve? Yeah. I mean, we're splitting wood. And I send Rosie out to cut the wood, and she splits the wood, and then I bring it in the house and burn it. No, I'm just kidding. But we enjoy it. We enjoy that wood stove. But you know, do you guys know that sometimes the Word of God calls men and women of God trees? Do you know that? Just like, who was it that read this? He shall be as a tree planted before the rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Is that right? What is that? It's a tree. Is that right? Talking about he shall be, you know, the Word of God likens us into a tree. And that's cool. So we're going to talk about trees and lights, okay, this morning. So if you will, go to the Word of God in Luke chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 1. And we're going to talk about Jesus. Who is the, how many of you know that Jesus was the greatest light the world has ever seen? Do you know that? Praise God. Oh, come on, man. Luke chapter 4. Hello. Starting at verse 1. Sorry, I didn't mean that. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 1, the Bible says this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we ask you, Lord, that you would open your word to us, reveal things that we've never seen. Let us see new things, Father God, that's coming to us from your Spirit. Father, we believe that you are desiring, Father, to give us things that we've never even imagined, never seen before. So, Father, we ask that you prepare our hearts, Father God, to hear what you would have us to hear individually, every person that's here to hear what you are saying to them personally. Because like we said this morning, Father, children are the heritage of the Lord, and Lord, we are your children. So Lord, we ask that your Spirit just speak to us in Jesus' name. I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 1 of the Word of God says this, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, Jesus had just gone to the Jordan where he saw John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he said, check, that's him, man. That's the one. Strange words to say, but we are in a new era, if you will. When John the Baptist came on the earth, the Word of God said that he was a voice crying in the wilderness. Jesus called him that, said about John the Baptist that he was, if you will receive it, Elijah. Hallelujah, that has come. And so a new era was being brought in hitting the earth, and we're part of that. How many say amen to that? That same Jesus dwells in you. How many, is that okay? Amen. Do you realize that? That Jesus, that when you receive him, he comes to live within you. And that's an awesome thought. But Jesus had just got baptized, and the Bible says that when he come up out of the water, that the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove. And then there was a voice that was heard that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Amen. Praise God. So here, now he is, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit now led him into the wilderness to be what? Tested, tempted. How many love testing and temptation and all? How you like that? I mean, does anybody like it? No. Do you know that every one of you is going to get it sometime, one time or another? Because through temptation, and it is how God builds you. Do you realize that? I have found that the harder the temptation, the harder the test, the trial, whatever it is, the more I learn about God. Because he's faithful, that in the midst of a trial, he's always there. How many say amen to that? Praise God, he's always there. Hallelujah. So here's Jesus being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, "If you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Jesus answered him, saying, "It's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this power I will give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be yours." How many know the enemy likes to tease us, likes to tell us things? He likes to lie to us. How many know that? Amen. Is that right? You know, I don't like even saying his name in here, but it's in the scriptures, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. But I'd rather call him Sneaky Pete. How's that? Let's call him Sneaky Pete, all right? And if there's a Pete in here, call him something else. I'm sorry. But I'm going to call him Sneaky Pete because you know what? If there's one thing he likes to be talked about. He wants to be lifted up. You know, do you realize that there are Christians that actually lift him up and say, "You know what? We had a brother in church one time. Almost every time he came in the church, he says, 'The devil has been tearing me up. The devil has been tearing me up.'" And he said it all the time. I said, "Well, stop listening to him. Quit. Start listening to the Word of God and see what God's Word says." How many know that Sneaky Pete has been defeated? Amen. How many know that? Do you know that? I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you know it? Yes. Do you understand that he is defeated? He has nothing on you. Do you understand that? It's important that you do. Because he will try to lie to you. He will try to tell you things and make you think that he's right and you're wrong. But I'm going to tell you, he's sneaky. Is that right? Look at what he sees. Jesus is hungry. And he says, "Hey, you know what? You're hungry, aren't you? Aren't you? Aren't you? You want to eat, don't you? Why don't you make these rocks into a bread if you're the Son of God?" He's going after Jesus' identity, wasn't he? He wasn't so much caring about the hunger. He was after that identity. And can I tell you, he's after your identity. He's wanting to tell you things that are untrue. He's a liar. Jesus said he's been the father of lies. He's always lying. He wants to tell you that things are going to get bad. He wants to tell you, you know what? Things can get bad. How many say amen to that? They can get bad, but God is faithful. He's always faithful. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what you go through, God will take you through it. Amen? Do you believe that? When he told Jesus, he goes, "All the kingdoms of the world have been given to me. I'll give them to you." Was he lying to him? He was not lying to him. Adam released everything on this planet to him when he sinned. But you know what I like? He wasn't talking to just any man, now was he? He was addressing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was addressing Jesus, who God had just got through saying, "This is my beloved son," his identity, "in whom I'm well pleased." Hallelujah. Jesus didn't have a young lady to help him fail. Sorry, girls. What he had was a relationship with his father that he knew. He knew who he was. He knew why he was here. Is that right? So when he said, "Hey, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll worship me." Can I tell you, the enemy still wants to be worshiped. Still, today, he's still after worship. He really is. I love what Jesus tells him. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Verse 8 says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only will you serve." I love what Jesus tells him. Because you know what? Can I tell you, those same words can come to us and say, he is the one we are to worship, and him only are who we are to serve. Is that okay? We serve him. How many serve Jesus? Hallelujah. How many of your lives say, "God, you just tell me what to do and I'll do it"? If you just say, "Just Lord, tell me what to do." Some of us will say, "God, tell me what to do." And when he tells you, he goes, "I can't do that." He says, "Oh, yes, you can." How many say amen to that? "Oh, yes, you can." You know, he will not ask you to do anything that he hasn't prepared you for already. Do you know that? Do you know that? He's not somebody up there that just doesn't get you and tells you, "Well, go do that." He goes, "Oh, I probably shouldn't have told her to do that. She probably should have said, damn, because she really messed it up." He doesn't do that. He knows you. He knows you well, and he knows what he's placed within you. So yeah, you can do what he's asking you to do. If he asks you to do it, you can do it. Sometimes it hurts. How many say amen? Amen. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. How many say amen to that? I remember he told me to give away a truck that I had been building for 2 years, and he told me to give it away. I said, no. And then my wife told me, but I ended up giving it, and you know what? It's been a blessing since. Sometimes we do things for God because we believe he's asked us to. And can I tell you, when you do that out of obedience, God will bless you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from here." Come on, man. Hallelujah. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you shall dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." You know what? I believe this is one of the most dangerous temptations, because the enemy will use God's word to try to convince you. Is that right? Do you understand that? That he will try to place a word that comes from him on you that will cause you to do or act or say something that you shouldn't be saying. That's why it's so important to know God personally. Jesus said, "Hey, man, I don't have to throw myself down. I don't have to try to show that he's going to hold me up. I don't have to do that. I already know that he holds me up. I already know these things. So I don't have to tempt God to do these things." Amen? Hallelujah. It's crazy. Do you know him? How well do you know him? Is he saying things to you? Is he speaking into your life? Because he says this, "My sheep know my voice." Do you know his voice? Do you know when he's speaking to you? I heard a pastor say one day, he says, "I've never heard an audible voice. I've never heard God speaking to me." And it troubled me that he said that. Because the word of God says his sheep will know his voice, hear his voice. And it troubled me a little bit. But you know, I kind of said, "God, how can he say that? How can he tell a bunch of people that, God?" And he said, you worry about you and let him worry. Let me worry about him. I said, okay, hey, it's cool. How many of you know that's what God wants to do? God doesn't want you pulling people, picking people apart with what you think about them. Is that right? He wants you to build and strengthen them with what he thinks about them. How's that sound? It's a place, Father, that God wants us to be. He wants us to know him and hear his voice, and that's so important to us. Hallelujah. And when the devil had ended the temptation, he departed from him for a season. How many say amen to that, for a season? How many know that the enemy's going to come and try to bang on your windshield, whatever? He's going to try to mess with you. Is that okay? It's not okay. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter because God is with you, okay? So then it says, so the word of God says here, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region. I love this scripture because it says he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that good? What is it about temptation that you like? I like about temptation or test or a trial. What I like is coming through it. And because I really believe everything you go through, God will strengthen you and instruct if you will listen to him. Is that right? Everything that you're going through, no matter what it is, no matter what it looks like, because that's who he is. The word of God says you're born again. Is that right? The word of God says you're born again. Let's say old things have passed away. All things become new. Is that correct? And then it says, and all things are of God. When you are a child of God, God actually is ruling your life. Is that right? How many believe that? How many of you are not just out there running around? You are in a kingdom, and this kingdom is operating, and it has a king, and it has a Holy Spirit to help you and lead you and guide you. So if something comes into your life, do you know that God had to approve it before it could get to you? Is that okay? Do you know that? Because some folks, we go through some heavy stuff. We do. How many say amen? We go through some heavy stuff. Is it okay if I tell you that you can trust God? And no matter what you go through, because God says, okay, I'll let that happen. But you can't. Job is a beautiful picture of what God says to him. He says, you can do this, but you can't do this. You can do that, but don't you kill him. You can't kill him. Is that right? And at the end, we find out that God says, God says to Job, can I not do what I created in the earth to do? Can I not do that? Job, do you not understand that I can wipe out the earth with one stroke of my hand and whatever? He says, I can do it because I'm God. I don't need your permission. Is that right? How many say amen? You don't. He don't need your permission. Neither does he need your approval. Is that okay? Yep. But he's a good God. Amen. He is a good God. So it's what's crazy about it. We're happy with God as long as things are going good. Is that right? And then when things go wrong, things go bad, we're not so happy with God. How many say amen to that? How many know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was that way. I've gone through some stuff. My daughter's gone through stuff. My son has gone through stuff. I've watched things happen. And I said, God, why would you let that happen? Who am I? Is that right? You ever felt like that? Well, who am I to say that to him? And I found out in every one of those instances, God shows himself strong. If that person will just trust God. Let me just say this. I'm going to give you a testimony. Is that okay? I remember, just as a real quick testimony, my daughter had gone into, she was basketball. She loved basketball. She was playing basketball for Continental School. And when she went to high school, my daughter could play basketball pretty good. She really could. She played with her brother and their friends quite a bit, and she was good at it. And so when she got into high school, she had to start in freshman basketball. So as she started in freshman basketball, The coach don't know what was going on. The coach, Rebecca would come and tell me, she goes, hey, Dad, the coach is, I mean, she don't like me. I said, be quiet. Coaches aren't like that. She goes, no, she don't like me. She don't like me and this other girl. So this, I don't remember what the other girl's name was. But anyway, so every time I go to pick her up from the gym, she'd come out crying. And I said, are you okay? I said, yeah, hey, you can quit. She goes, no, Dad, I don't want to quit. I don't want to quit. I said, all right. So finally, one day I went in and I was watching them play. Well, the coach wasn't playing these two girls. Some of the other girls that he was playing, that they couldn't bounce the ball three or four times and then keep it under control. They, my daughter could do this thing with a spider or something. She could do this fancy thing with dribbling. And so I said, what's going on? So I got kind of upset. Dad, right? How you know? So I went out, and when she came out that day, she didn't know I was in there watching. I told her, you know what? You want to quit? Go ahead. Go ahead and quit. It's funny because she goes, no, Dad, I feel like God is saying something to me that I need to honor her. I said, okay. Cool. Man of God that I was. Okay. Just got through telling, go ahead and quit. Well, she said, she told that coach, she goes, you know what? I'll take stats for you. So that's what she was doing. She was taking stats. That coach would not play her or the other girl. The other girl did quit. But Rebecca stayed in there taking stats. And one of the freshman games, the varsity coach came over who knew her, said, hey, how come you're not playing? And she says, well, I'm taking stats for her. She goes, that's crazy. So Christmas time came. The varsity team lost some people for holidays. You know how we are. Everybody likes to go places, go visit family, which is cool. So Rebecca, they called the house, and she's a freshman, and they said, hey, can Rebecca come and play basketball with us? We are missing some people. We need some people to be on the team. So I get all fired up. Yeah. Well, you have to ask her. And I get the phone and I have to walk it over to her. And I said, hey, they want you to play. They want you to play on the varsity team. I'm all excited. She goes, Dad, calm down. They probably just need some in case somebody gets hurt. Well, that kind of blew that up, you know. So, all right. So she goes and plays with them. And when the New Year's came, because they were having tournaments during the holidays, and when the New Year's came, she came home. I came home from work one day. She goes, Dad, I want you to come into my room. And I said, all right. She held up the freshman uniform that she never got to play in. She always wore, but it was all wrinkled and everything. It had been dried. How many knows what happened when you got a plastic thing on your shirt and then you put it in the hot dryer? It looked like somebody had dried it and it was all crinkled up and it looked really bad, you know. And she goes, this is what they gave us to wear. That's when she first was in the freshman team. But when I come back, she goes, remember this, Dad? I go, yeah. She goes, check this out. She pulls out this big old duffel bag and lays it on her bed. She pulls up these warm-up suits. She pulls out all these different, you know, away game. This is the uniform we wear when we're away, and this is the uniform. And all Sarita. And I realized something, that God had blessed her. That coach took her from the freshman team, put her on the varsity team, and she played varsity all 4 years. Isn't that cool? That's God. God watches us and he sees. He hasn't missed a thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when you come out of a trial, you've got a testimony. How many say amen to that? Can I tell you that the testimony that you have is a light? Do you get it? We're talking about trees and lights, right? The testimony you have is a light. And it's important that you give a testimony, that you give your testimony. Can I say how important I feel it is that God's people speak to one another and build one another? The Bible says iron sharpens iron, you know. But just pastor talking to you all the time isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about how you will say something to this person over here, and you'll get up and you'll say something to this person over here. And the Holy Spirit has his way in the service. That's why we do what we do here. Because I believe God. I trust God to do that. Well, what if somebody gets up and starts cussing at everybody? Well, John and I will take them out like the U of A football team. Is that right? Whatever, man. No, I'm just kidding. But what happens? See, I trust God. I believe that this is what he's doing with the body of Christ. This is what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Because everybody's got testimony. Everybody has something that God has done for them. Amen? Hallelujah. How many got something God has done for you? How many of you without God's never done nothing for me? Anybody here? Come on, man. It's a testimony of what God's done for you. We come out with a testimony. Let me give you Psalm 119, verse 130. Look at this. This word. The entrance of your words gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. I like, who was it that came up here and said, hey, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Is that, how many like that? When you're talking to God, say, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. So actually, when you come up to God, you say, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. You do know what to do. You keep your eyes on him. See, you know what to do. Can I say, I've had people tell me, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Oh, yes, you do. Huh? You know what to do. The word of God says to seek him and you'll find him. Seek him with all your heart and you will find him. How do you say amen? That's what he meant. He says, seek him, you'll find him. You know what to do. And here it is, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. When you need something, the word of God in James says this, ask. I'm trying to think of the scripture. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to anybody. Is that right? All you got to do is ask him for it. So yeah, you do know what to do. Go to God. Find out what he's saying to you. And when that word comes to you, can I tell you, it is like a light. That's what it says. It is like 119. It is a entrance of thy word gives what? Light. It turns things on. Is that right? That's cool. It gives understanding to the simple. Understanding is the part you want to operate in. It's okay to have wisdom, but better than wisdom is understanding. Solomon said, in all you're getting, Solomon says, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Learn. Understanding comes when that light goes on. When God reveals something to you, understanding comes with it. Is that cool? Oh, now I know what to do. Now I understand that my God is with me. And he'll never leave me. And he'll do what he says he'll do, even in a time like today. Amen? Hallelujah. So that gives you a chance to rejoice. Is that right? Does anybody rejoice when you say, oh, yeah, praise God. When I was in my bed, I've told you this before, there's certain things I believe that God has been saying to me, and I won't back on them because I believe he's been saying them to me. But in my bedroom, I heard Sneaky Pete. How's that? I heard him say, you're over 65. I'm going to kill you. And when I heard that, I didn't even know what to think. I was just, huh? But out of my spirit came these words, you can't kill me, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. Get out of my house. You can't kill me. I'm already dead. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? That's the word of God. That's what God's word says. It's given unto man once to die one time. Hallelujah. See, you died on the cross with him. Do you believe it? But do you believe it? The word of God says, it says, in Romans chapter 8, he tells us that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of what? Sin and death. See, you don't want to live in the law of sin and death. You want to live in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Can't have them both. Although a lot of people try to mix them together, God's saying today, no, it's time to separate those two things because you are in eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Is that right? When does that happen? When you go to heaven? No, it's right now. The wages of sin is death, but see, Jesus paid for your sin, so there's no more wages to be paid. So why? Is that right? Why? Ooh, do you die? Hallelujah. I know I'm scaring some of you, but that's okay. It's what I believe. It's what God has spoken to me. And last week we said he can't go back on what God speaks to you. You just can't. And I will not. I cannot. Hallelujah. And I believe that there is a body of people out there today that are listening to this word and they're catching it. They're saying, my, the light bulb is going pink. Is that right? And then somebody will talk to them and say, no, it can't be that way. And then all of a sudden, boop, goes off again. And then it goes, and just, does Ford have a better idea? And you guys are wondering, that's that light bulb. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does anybody, have I lost you? Are you guys okay? Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. See, you have a victory. You have something. You got a powerful testimony now. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Word of God says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. Who said this? What's his name? Jesus. He said this? He said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is what Jesus said. Amen? Was he lying to you? He was not lying. He wasn't lying at all. He was speaking things that they had never heard before. How many know that? He was talking about the kingdom of God. He says, I've come to reveal the Father. And they came, you know that the Father wasn't spoken of by the Jewish name? They didn't speak a lot about them. They called him Yahweh. They had these different terms for him, but they never called him Father till Jesus came. And when he called them Father, what happened? Woo! They didn't like it. You calling him your father? You're making yourself like him? Are you kidding me? I mean, they got upset when he called them father. Jesus was bringing something totally different that the Jews had never heard. And here he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do all these things. How many of you know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to do all these things? Is that right? If as Jesus says that he's upon me to do that, and you've accepted Christ in your life, he's in you to do what he says he's going to do. Is that right? He's here for it. It's got nothing to do with you except that you surrender. Say, okay, God, I'll do it. I can do it. Can you preach? How many of you can preach in here? How many are preachers? I got 1, 2, 3, 4. Can I tell you? You got to understand something. He's in you. He's the preacher, not you. You dead. Remember? Remember that? You're dead. He's the preacher, and he can speak through you anytime, any place, to anyone, anywhere. Is that okay? Praise God. Why do we think that we got to learn something? We got, when the Holy Spirit says, no, no, just listen to me. I'll tell you. Tells me, I will tell you, mijo. I'll show you. Okay. You think I come up with this stuff? I don't come up with this stuff. I have to say what he gives me to say. Hallelujah. If I had to come up with it, I wouldn't do it. If it was coming from me, I would not do it. But you see, I died. August 9th. 1979, I was placed on a tree with my king, and I died, and I was resurrected, and I was buried, and I was resurrected. See, I didn't understand it all, but let me tell you, as you walk with the Lord, understanding becomes a light to you. Boom, boom, he begins to show you things that you'd never seen before, and understanding comes within you, and you say, man, that's crazy. But God is doing a work. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are glad for what God does? Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. Oh, you can preach. So when I come up to you and I say, hey, I want you to preach next week, don't tell me you're going to be on vacation for 3 months. I don't want to hear it. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's a pretty sorry amen if I ever heard one. Amen? Come on. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Hi. Isaiah chapter 61. This is where Jesus was quoting from. I want you to look at this. Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. I love this. Jesus, when he was in the synagogue and he was speaking, how many of you know that they got upset at him? Because he actually had gone to Nazareth, his hometown. And Jesus said to them, you know what? A prophet is never welcome in his own hometown. How come? Because the moms in town probably put Band-Aids on him when he got cut. They know him better than anybody else. And there is no way that you can be a prophet. How many say amen to that? Anybody ever experienced your family just saying, man, yeah, you're weird. Anybody remember that? See, you're a prophet unwelcome in your own hometown, in your own, if you will, your own family. How many say amen to that? I remember one brother told me, one of the guys I used to hang out with, he says, Henry, you got a horrible fever and you're going to get over it and then we'll go drinking again. Well, I've never gotten over this fever. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. And it's not a horrible fever. It's a wonderful fever. Amen. Praise God. I love it. I love it. Here's where Jesus was quoting from. He says, as the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Is the gospel good tidings? Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. How many are brokenhearted? How many have ever been brokenhearted? He comes to pour oil, which is his word, into the heart of the brokenhearted. Isn't that nice? Because he loves and he cares for you like nobody else. No one ever cared for me. You guys remember that song? Like Jesus, there's no friend as kind as he. You guys remember that song? No one else could take my sin and darkness from me. Oh, how he cares for me. You guys remember that song? Anybody remember that song? Nobody? No one ever cared for me. I've been playing at my house because there's something about it that just gets after my spirit. And I know my grandkids look at it, Tata, you're playing that song again? Yeah, I like it. Do you? Yeah. Good kids. No one ever cared for you, Jesus. He sent you to bind, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the, prison to them that are bound. Thank you, brother. Sorry. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. How many of you know that sometimes we need to be comforted? Again, sometimes it's just so difficult to be comforted. But he comes to comfort. And amen? Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Aren't you glad? Because when he comforts, oh, there is something within you that says, oh, God, that's exactly what I needed. To comfort them that mourn, and then it says, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion and to give them beauty for ashes, right? The oil of joy for mourning. Hallelujah. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called, listen, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be, what, glorified. I tell you, talking to you about trees and lights. Jesus is the light of the world, you know that? And he got some trees. And I don't know about all of you, but y'all are trees. I'm looking at a bunch of trees right now. Trees of righteousness. Do you understand that? Trees. That's who you are. You're a tree. You're a tree. You're a tree. You're a box tree. You're a pine tree. You're a pear tree. You're all. And these trees give off fruit in their seasons. Is that right? Every tree will give fruit in their seasons. What the Word of God says. What season? Are we talking about winter, summer, spring, and fall? No, he's talking about the seasons of the Lord. His seasons. Just when you least expect it. What was the name of that? Was that called? With candy camera? I don't know. Just when you least expect it, hey, all of a sudden these fruits begin to show up in your life. And yet somebody looks at you and says, oh my God, I don't believe it. How do you do that? How do you maintain the way you are? How is it that you're so kind and peace and at peace? How is it? See, because the fruit of God is growing in the tree, all right? You're called trees of righteousness. Do you know that the righteousness of God is upon you? Do you realize that? Do you know it? Do you know it? Hallelujah. Zechariah 14, verses 11 through 14. I'm just going to show you another scripture. It talks about people being trees. And here is Zechariah chapter 14, 11 through 14, I think. It says, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more. Is that? Did I miss it? I might have given you the wrong one. Let me look. Let me look again. Because generally that computer is never wrong. Amen, amen. Say amen. Yeah, come on. Probably gave you the wrong one, brother. I need you to look at this. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 11. My Bible says, then answered I. Doesn't say that there? There we go. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. The word of God says, then answered I and said to him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? What do you call them? Olive trees. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? What be these things, he says. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And he said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. You see how men in the scriptures are called trees? Hallelujah. I want to go back to Isaiah, that same place where he said, I'll bind up the wounds and everything. Isaiah 61 verse 4 says this, and they shall build the old wastes. Who's he talking about? The trees. He's talking about a generation of people that are righteous. They shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. Can I tell you that we are the trees of the Lord? We are the trees of righteousness. Can I say that to you? And the purpose that God has us in here is this right here, to bind up the wounds and everything. He says, we will build the old waste places. Can I tell you, this building used to be an old waste place. This building was something that was used other than glorifying God. But now this building is used to glorify God. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what the trees are doing to the building? Do you see what God is doing? It says, they shall raise up the former desolations. There's desolations all around us. Do you know that? People walking that are desolate. They have no idea what's going on. They got no idea how much God loves them. They've got nobody to tell them, hey, bro, God loves you, man. These trees are going to be doing this. This was a scripture right after it said, talked about the trees. And it says, they shall repair the waste cities. How many know Green Valley? It might not know it, but we are in the midst of repairing the city. Is that right? And calling forth things that have been desolate that they might glorify the Lord. How many say amen to that? Come on, hallelujah. I love it. Hallelujah. Here's our power verse today. It says, John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Can I have the worship team come on up? I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How many of you know there's a price to be paid when you're going to follow Jesus? Is that right? How many know that? How many know that when you follow Jesus, the Word of God says that he went to a cross. Is that right? Do you know that you've got to go to the cross? The Word of God says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me, is what he says. That's what he's saying right here. I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen? Y'all are trees. Luke chapter 2, verse 32 says this, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. How many of you are Jewish here today? Everybody should raise your hand because of who it is that's in you. Jesus was very much Jewish. Do you know that? Yeah. Before you were a Jew, sorry, before you were Jewish, do you know that you were a Gentile? You were an unbeliever. How many say amen to that? You say, yeah, that's me. And see, that's what he came to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. See, he came to give you light. You are a light in this world. The last scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. Say, everybody say amen. You can stand up. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. How many know it's hard to hide light? Is that right? Even if you put a cover over it, sometimes you can see in the cracks and everything. It's hard to hide light. And that's what he's saying here. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You are the light of the world. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Then he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Amen. Amen. Be a tree that's got lights glowing all over it. Let your light shine before men. They'll see your good works. You don't have to show it to them. How many know that's not what God wants? He don't want you to show off. He just says, let your light shine. He goes, and they'll see it. And you'll glorify my Father, which is heaven. How many want to glorify your Father, which is in heaven? Amen. Thank you, Father. So I'm going to pray for you this morning. How many want to glow brighter than you ever glowed before? How many of you want that? Can I tell you? Hallelujah. God wants to do that for you. So let me pray for you real quick. Father, I thank you that you are causing your people, Father, to shine. You are causing your people to shine like they've never shined before. Father God, in this dark world, Father, I know that the darker it gets, the brighter the stars look. Isn't that right? There's a shining that happens in the darkness. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that your people will shine like the brightness of the sun because of you, the Son of God. Father, thank you for that this morning. Lord, continue to speak to them and bless them this week, Father God. Cause your word to be the first thing in their heart as they wake up, as they go to bed, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your people. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Oh, let's worship this morning. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.